Right, in this bonus episode, you're not allowed to do an Australian accent. It's really offensive.
Okay, I won't do an Australian accent. I'll just stick with my straightforward BBC voice, which I'm training you. Can you do BBC? Say BBC.
BBC.
That's you being posh, isn't it? Sorry, for anyone else around the world, you'll have no idea what that's all about. But I'm trying to elevate Gary into a world of nice, clear, rounded tones.
So speaking of those rounded tones, and you got an interview with David. Sorry, you got an interview with Alex. And what did David say when you were doing the interview?
What do you mean, what did he say?
Well, I just wanted to try setting you up so you go, yeah, mate, go on.
No, I'm not falling for that old chestnut. Now, I have to say, David Drysdale has definitely became one of my favourite characters on tour. I found him nothing but generous with his time, always would stop and talk to me, and was really welcoming and inviting. And it really was great to actually sit down with him and get a true insight into Alex and how the world around him looks after him and how they've been developing things to move forward.
And before we move forward, here's some music. I remember the first time we met Dave, or I met David, because I'd met him before. But as we've spoken about throughout this series, you went to Surbiton and we got you there, and then obviously the summer rolled on. But one of our friends, Dominic Bliss, who's normally a football writer, but he writes about tennis with us as well. There's actually two Dominic Blisses who have both worked with us.
What are the chances of that?
I know, and they confuse people no end.
Have they ever met?
No, I tried to set up a meeting once where, because when we were working on the old Ace magazine with the LTA, and we had a lunch, and my Dom Bliss couldn't make it, but Tennis Dom Bliss came. I was trying to get them together because it would mean, hello, Dominic. I'm Dominic. Oh, I'm Dominic. But they've never actually met each other. But
Dommelgangers.
Dommelgangers. And they have this funny thing where, because they're both sports writers as well, that if they work for the same company, freelancing, sometimes the other person gets paid. So then they email each other, and the other Dom, did you just do some work for X amount of money? Yeah, I've just got it. And that, yeah, it happens all the time.
That's
and I'm
amazing.
Sure they won't mind me talking about that. But the reason I bring this up is that we'd been trying to nail down David in the summer because we were trying to do some stuff with Leighton Hewitt.
Yeah.
So Dom actually went along to Surbiton as well. But we didn't actually get anywhere. But so then when...
Yeah, but you know who did?
Yeah, you.
I got an interview with Leighton.
Oh, you did? Yeah, but that was just really like impromptu. You were just walking past, wasn't it?
And you're kind of guy I am. Yeah. That's how I roll.
So so when you got the relationship with David, it was really good because we'd obviously been trying to speak to him, but he's so busy. Like even when we were with him in Milan, his phone's going, he's on the phone or he's getting, but he's a busy man, but he's a nice man as well.
It's interesting actually, because I remember after the summer, we went away. I sent an email to say thank you for all his help through the summer. And I never got a reply. And then when I bumped into him first time at Milan, I said, oh, I did send you an email. He said, oh, I nearly broke into an Australian accent there, but I won't. And he said, oh, yeah, mate. Oh, no, I did it. And he said, yeah, I usually go through my inbox on one of the long haul flights, but there's been so many this summer. And you can imagine if it was busy before, when nobody really knew who Alex was, you can imagine what that inbox is like now.
He's probably only just getting to the emails that Dom sent him.
Probably. Can I meet Leighton Hewitt at Surbiton? Yeah.
And he's not there this year, mate. You know, it was a year ago. Cheers, David.
Yeah.
But when we met him in Milan, it was in the mix zone, and we were waiting for Alex. And I just thought it was funny because I was checking the sound and you were doing it, and he came up behind us. And luckily, we were only saying nice things. And then he went, yeah, I agree. I was like, where'd you come from? And it's just funny seeing an agent and a manager being playful like that. And he's just a nice, laid-back guy. And so I'm being told to keep my hand away from my tash again.
Yet again, another episode with you just stroking your beard and making crackly sounds.
I'm glad these bonus episodes are more relaxed. I'm not having to do multiple takes.
No, that's true. We're just letting you go with the beard pulling.
And now let's go with David's interview.
David, lovely to see you here at Next Gen.
No problem.
Really interesting. My summer has really been, in a lot of ways, discovering tennis and the next generation, but in particular, Alex. For me, I had a moment at Surbiton, the first tournament I went to of the summer, and I just saw this guy hit a ball, and I just went, who is that? And it's been an incredible journey for me discovering who he is, what he's been up to, where he's going. And I'll never forget the very first press conference came in, we did with Alex, was in that small little converted shop under where the Wilson rackets normally sit. And you said, don't be too long, I'll let you know if you've been too long with him. And smiled and I walked off. And no one else was talking to him. And then talking to him, he said, I've just broken into the top 100.
Yes.
And in his career, that seems so long ago. But I'd love to ask more about Alex as to where he came from, what attracted you to him. How does the whole situation work with a player like that?
Yeah, look, he was in the Australian Junior Program when he was 13, 14 years of age. And then his family moved back to Spain and he continued to work in Spain. But played junior tennis for Australia in junior teams. And then he made the final of Junior Wimbledon a couple of years ago and played Shapovalov. And that was the first time I'd seen Alex play. I actually went and watched every match he played in juniors. I was going along with Leighton Hewitt, who I also manage. And so we were going to watch Alex play and see how he went. And I was really impressed with his attitude, the way he went about it. He lost the final to Dennis, but he was extremely impressive. And so I started talking to him, chatting with him, and the following February I signed him to start managing him. And I think because of the relationship I have with Leighton, it helped to be able to get Alex. And then he had a year where he struggled a little bit onto the senior tour, which is natural for kids coming out of juniors. And I can remember being in Nottingham, not this year, but last year, where we had to sit down and have probably, I think it was about a 3 or 4 hour chat with he and his coach, Adolfo. And we talked about Alex to be patient, that it will come. He just needs to continue to work hard and continue to work and have the right attitude, and the results will come with it. So he started this year at 208 in the world. Had a fantastic pre-season in Australia and did well in Brisbane, then well in Sydney, and then the aim was to make the top 100. So when you saw him at Surbiton, he had just reached his goal for this year, which was to be top 100, and everything from then on has been a bonus.
I mean, after hitting the top 100, I saw him, he was so made up with it and he was so chuffed. And then it just went into another level, another stratosphere. He won Nottingham. I mean, how is it for you when you see this? Because in a way, I suppose you set goals, as you're saying. You probably keep them to yourselves or whatever. But for him to hit that and then find, well, we've now got the whole summer to work through. How does that?
Yes, look, it was a bonus. The great thing about Nottingham was he'd been in a few finals and never won any. So to have that win, and it was against Dan Evans, who's a good player on grass, classy player. So to have that win really boosted his confidence, and that was very important to him. So he'd made the final in Surbiton but lost. I mean, Shardy played a tremendous game. So it was important that he won in Nottingham. And from that, he had the confidence then to have a great US swing, US summer. He just seems to be going from strength to strength, but he also knows that the further he goes, the harder he has to work.
He seems to me, every time I've spoken to him, he seems like a very grounded individual. He doesn't seem flash or cocky or arrogant. He seems to have a very nice demeanour, Demonauer's demeanour. A tough one to say. Luckily, I don't not having a beer here, but you know, is that something you work on, or is that just something that's naturally within him?
I think naturally within him, he is a nice boy, comes from a good family, close to his family. He he's a hard worker. He's quite mature for 19, which is hard to find. And look, he treats people the way he wants to be treated. And it's important that we continue that he stays like that, that he stays grounded. I don't think it's going to be that hard. He's a very humble young man. And so, you know, our job sometimes as a manager is just to keep him on track from that point of view, make sure he doesn't get ahead of himself, let his natural personality come through, which is very strong for him, very good personality. And I think that's what helps.
Do you think, having been through the whole tennis cycle, as it were, with Leighton, that gave you an extra sort of focus on what to do with Alex? I mean, I presume
Yes. You
do more than just manage those two guys. You've
Sure. Got
an awful lot
Yeah.
of people. But how did you think, okay, I can see with this guy there's something that's special?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. I actually saw a lot of Leighton in Alex, just the way he competes. And I thought that's something you don't see a lot. You see a lot of kids with a hell of a lot of talent, but them putting it together and doing the hard work and then having the ability to compete and fight for every point is not something you see often. So it was a bonus to see that in Alex. And you knew that if you could grab him and just keep him on the go and keep him focused and not let him get ahead of himself or expect too much. And I mean, Leighton was world number one at 20, but it's a different game today. And even I spent 4 months on the road with Alex this year, and I hadn't spent any time on the road for a long time when Leighton was playing full time. And it's just interesting how the tour has changed. The media commitments now are much more than they were, a lot more demands on the players. So from that point of view, it was good. And I think Alex is his own person, but he's a good kid.
I mean, okay, so you're with him the whole time going on the tour and what have you. So obviously there's something that's given you such excitement to be part of that with him.
Yeah, I absolutely. Absolutely. I just felt that he needed a little bit of stability. So it was basically myself and his coach, Adolfo, and it was just for him to have another voice there. Leighton joined us at a few tournaments because Leighton's more his mentor, and Leighton and Adolfo works well together. It was more me getting to know Alex better as well and see what he's like under pressure and so on. And when I look back on it, it was a pretty successful 4 months.
So when you're away and everything, what does he do in his spare time? What's he like off court?
Look, he's a very relaxed sort of kid, loves a joke. We have a lot of fun. You know, we could, if he's got an afternoon off, we could end up going and have a game of mini golf or things like that. So we try to do things together. We try to keep his mind away from tennis. So from all that sort of, and mixing with other Australians helps with him. So it can be a lot of fun. We try to have as much fun as we can because it's a pretty monotonous lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, I work with a lot of bands and musicians over the years, and it's the same thing. Everyone goes, wow, it must be so exciting. You go, no, it's all about that 90 minutes on stage.
Well, you know, people think you're travelling all over the world, but tennis courts look the same no matter where you go.
Yeah, I mean, here we are in Milan. Everyone's going, oh, you're in Milan. Okay. Yeah, I'm in an exhibition centre
that's right.
You know, I then go behind all the facade and it's all grubby and terrible.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It is the kind of way it is. And your relationship, you know, I've known a lot of friends of mine who've been managed by people, and I understand the relationships are always different due to the personalities, but I noticed that, you know, you and him seem close. It's very matey, and I saw you fist bumping earlier in the mix zone.
Yeah.
And things.
Look, I was lucky. I had a very strong relationship with Leighton. It was like he was family, so I treated him like a son, and Alex is no different. So the way I see it is that if I'm going to do the job properly, my job is to protect him. And so you try and you've got to distance yourself sometimes when it comes to commercial realities, and you might need to be tough on him, but I see him as a part of the family and treat him accordingly.
So when with everything that's gone on this summer, is it sometimes hard to keep his emotions in check and keep him firmly in the now as opposed to in the past or in the future, but to just go, right, okay, that's today, that's done?
Oh, for sure. For sure, there's no doubt about it, and it's been a very long year for him. If I had my way, he wouldn't be playing this week or wouldn't have played last week, not because of the events, just that he needs a rest, because he's only going to get 2 weeks off and then he's into pre-season training in Australia. So, you know, you've got to have that balance of what's going on. You've got to be aware. You know, there's sometimes I'll say, look, don't worry about the result, mate. You've had a big year, you've had a good year. Just let it go. Let's just move on to the next one. Go and have a rest for a few days. Don't pick up a racket for a couple of days. Make sure you're fresh.
So you're really working on him in all areas. I suppose you're kind of also helping him develop off court as well as just on court.
Oh, absolutely. His branding is very important as a young man, a young player. So I'll go to all his press conferences, and then we have a talk afterwards about answers he's given or how he could have done some things better or what he did very well, if he says something the same way all the time. That's part and parcel of what you're trying to do. I explain to him about commercial realities a lot of the time. We discuss about what he does with his prize money, things like that. It's about, you know, he might want to go and buy a car, and I say, well, I think that's silly to do at this stage. So there's a lot of different things you've got to do to try and help them in life after tennis as well.
So it's really interesting to watch this development, because he seems so assured right now. And I guess it's an interesting point for you now that you're at the end of a season. I guess you'll probably send him off. I mean, what's the plan for him once he finishes this tournament?
Well, unfortunately, he has to go to London and sit the ATP University for 3 days, which is not what he's looking forward to. But it's a requirement that he has to do that. Then he'll go home to Spain and try and get his driver's licence, which will be interesting. If he doesn't get it, we'll soon let him know about it. So he gets just under 2 weeks in Spain, and he's on a plane to Australia, and we'll let him have a day off when he gets to Australia, and then he'll be doing a very hard pre-season, working with Leighton every day.
So will he be getting him to almost be like playing Australian rules and things out there?
He'll be doing a lot of Australian rule type drills, a lot of running, a lot of swimming, a lot of cross training, a lot of weight work. We've got to help him to become stronger in his core. It's not like we need him to muscle up because he's quick. We need him to keep his quickness. It's about him having a fitness, and it's about getting a fitness base now that he can continue to build on over the next 3 or 4 years, and then be in the mix for a Grand Slam where you've got to play 7 5-set matches in a row. So at the moment, on a 5-set match, he'll run out of puff, which is natural for a person of that age. So we've got to be aware of his body and his limitations. He's still growing, so we have to be careful from that point of view as well. So it'll be a very good program, and he couldn't have anyone better to work with on it than Leighton.
So what I find interesting is he's got this whole Spanish Latin background, and he's an Australian. I mean, that's a heady mix, isn't it?
It's an interesting mix. It's funny because when you say that he lives and trains in Spain, everyone thinks he'd be a clay court player, but he's exactly the opposite. His favourite surface is grass, which is an Australian trait. So he sees himself as an Australian, for sure, and he likes to play like an Australian. So I think that's a great thing to do. He's clever because, unlike most Australians, he can speak Spanish and French.
And that helps him, because I've noticed, I speak Spanish, and I've noticed that when he's not happy on court, he swears in Spanish. So he gets away with it usually.
Well, his coach is Spanish, so I think he's having a go at his coach, which is, I'd rather that than him having a go at me.
And what's his relationship like with his coach? Because they seem as though they're always...
Well, Adolfo's coached him since he was 7 years old. He started with Adolfo in Spain, And Adolfo really is his father figure. And I think that he's been absolutely brilliant for Alex. He knows him better than anybody. And with all the touring they've done, the sharing rooms all the time, I think Adolfo is the most important person in Alex's tennis career, because he knows him better than anybody. And he will keep him grounded. Really nice guy, great personality. And I think that the two of them make a fantastic team.
So what are your final thoughts on the dreams and hopes for Alex as a player? How do you see his future?
I think his ultimate dream, like any tennis player, is to become world number one and win Grand Slams. I think that it's been an amazing year for him this year. I think that his goal would be to start next year in the same form and to do well, especially through to Wimbledon. And then it's going to be an easier year this year, that we can plan his schedule easier because we know he's in certain tournaments. But he's also going to be playing Masters 1000s now, where the draw is much, much harder. So therefore you don't get as easy points as what you do if you're playing in a challenger. So look, I think next year will be a big test for him to retain his ranking. But I think he will take another major step in 2020. I think by the end of 2020, his goal would be to be top 15.
And finally, I mean, what would you say the challenges are for young players in 2018 in the present day game?
Oh, look, gee, it's a tough sport. It is a tough sport. And you have to make sure you're committed. I think that's the big thing. It doesn't matter how much talent you got. If you're not committed, you're not going to take the steps that you need to take to make a living out of the sport. So any young player out there, is stay focused on what they're doing. Listen to their coaches. Listen to the people around you. You'll always continue to learn, no matter how old you are. Take the information in. You don't have to use everything, but take it in and use what helps you. But don't be afraid to work hard. If you work hard, the results will come if you're patient.
Okay, and lastly, I just want to say, I know I keep saying this, but it's a really good thing to say, is I've yet to see Alex lose. Never seen him lose yet. So, you know...
Can you keep watching him every match?
Look, I'm just offering up my services. If you're thinking, hey, he's feeling a bit rocky, just give me a call. I'll be over on the next flight and I'll make sure he wins whatever needs to be won.
I'll keep that in mind for sure.
All right. Well, it's 8-0 now. It's one set to love, 6-love, and 2-0 in the second set in games that I've watched him play.
Fantastic. I like it.
Thanks ever so much, David. And anytime. Thank you actually for, you know, bringing Alex into my life. It's a great thing.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Brilliant.
Cheers.
Until next time, this is Drop Shot. Dropshot is written and produced by Gary Hayes and me, Kerry Levy. Audio editing and sound mixing by Sounds Like These. Special thanks go to Ollie Slack and Taylor Hayes. Music for this episode was composed by Jimmy Goodwin. Our thanks go out to Mark Epps and Edward LaCava from the ATP. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at This Is Dropshot. This has been a PML Studio production.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Dropshot, leave a review, tell a friend, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.